It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 45, our Season 2, Episode 1 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Tony, Greg, Jim Cross, Jeff Tuttle, Tyler Massey, and various and sundry other celebrities and people. We're looking forward to another great year of covering Southwest Arkansas sports, and hope y'all have enjoyed what we've done in the past. We've been gone for a little while, but good to be back in the saddle, getting ready to go. We're going to preview football this next couple of weeks before the season starts, and then we're going to get into the meat of the season. So we're going to start out this week with Coach Richard Bell and the DeQueen Leopards. Looking forward to an outstanding 2024 season for the Leopards, and Coach Bell had a productive summer.
Oh yeah, we had a great summer. Actually, we attended, you know, four team camps, seven on seven. We continued the tradition that we started last year of having junior high team camps. So we attended two junior high team camps and also a seven on seven. Was very successful at those. We went to MENA for a team camp, and then we hosted three here at DeQueen. And we, you know, Waldron and MENA, Derek's, Horatio, Foreman, some Oklahoma schools, Poto, a few of them I can't pronounce the names, but yeah, we had a productive summer. Made it to the semifinals of the 7-on-7. Lost out to Arkadelphia by one touchdown. So yeah, I was really proud of the guys on their production and, you know, their participation all summer.
Great. So I got a question for you about 7-on-7.
Okay.
I just wondered this because I've always considered 7-on-7s basically a passing,
right,
kind of a skeleton,
right,
offense. It's,
right,
mostly passing. Your offense is not very much passing.
Right. So in the last few years, what we've tried to do is get the base of our, you know, of our flex bone offense, single wing stuff. We try to get all of that base in, so it's basically second nature to these guys when we call running plays and things of that sort. Once we get that base in, our goal was always to diversify our offense and have multiple things that we can run. But we had to get that base in first. So now, instead of just doing the flex bone, I think we have 11 different formations in now, now that we can have everything settled in. And one of those is going to be, you know, type of the spread offense. And, of course, throwing out of the flex bone, throwing out of the single wing, but also lining up in empty quads, you know, 3x2, 3x1, 2x2. That's why we attended those 7-on-7s this year. It's to try to get our guys more comfortable running the passing game, in which they did. Again, you know, we made it to the semifinals of that 7-on-7 up there at MENA, which was great. And again, with our guys, you know, we're not real, real strong at skill, so it really helps our secondary guys being in a 7-on-7 camp, because a lot of people we play do the spread. And so us being able to work on our secondary game and adjusting to different styles of offense and the passing game really helps us on both sides.
Okay, well, I you explained it very well. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Coach, what we want to do with you today, if it's okay, is go through your offense.
Okay.
And the first five games, kind of like we did last year, and then a little later we'll go through the defense in the last five games.
Okay.
You got to be happy to have a senior quarterback back in Cole Binkley.
Yeah, Cole is he's one of those guys that, you know, he's going to be hard to replace after this year. As we say with Cole, he knows the offense better than we do. He knows where the offensive linemen, of course, the block, the you know, the running backs, the receivers. He knows all the different formations. He could call it without us, you know. But also, just such a hard worker. He never misses a day. He's always in the weight room. Again, you know, he's one of those three 500-pound squatters we got at 185-pound kid. You know, he's very, very strong. So having Cole, you know, running the offense for us is going to be big this year. He's gotten quite a bit bigger, quite a bit faster. You know, he dropped his 40 below 5 flat. You know, he's 185 pounds where he was 160-something last year. So we're really looking forward to a big year out of him.
How about the rest of your backfield? Your wing back, fullback,
our two wings, we have returning starter with Ulysses Cotto, which is going to be a big player for us on both sides of the ball. Cotto brings a lot of speed and a lot of knowledge of the offense. We have sophomore Drayden Bennett, who we're going to put at the other wing.
I'm anxious to see him play.
He is really. Last year he was a bigger, thicker kid, a little bit shorter, stockier. He shot up, you know, 2 or 3 inches. Slimmed up a little bit of that baby fat and turned it into muscle and turned it into speed. You could really tell in those team camps when he come around the end with the ball, nobody really wanted to hit him because, you know, he's 195 pounds. And he's moving pretty quick. You know, he's probably 4.9 speed, not blazing, but he's big. You know, so he comes around and he's got good vision and a smart kid. So we're looking forward to him. And then we had Rylan Pickett at fullback. Rylan came over to us from Horatio. He's playing at fullback and linebacker for us. Rylan is one of those kids, again, once he was committed to DeQueen and we had all the paperwork done correctly, he's never missed a day. He hasn't missed a weight workout. He hasn't missed a team camp. Hasn't missed a practice.
And that's good to hear.
And he's another one of those kids that, like Cole, he's very, very smart. He picks up very quickly. And so to have, you know, you got on backfield as far as the veer that we run and the flex bone, those guys are great. But we also have a very big addition at receiver this year, which is John Maturino. John Maturino has really shot up. He set a school record in high jump last year in junior high. You know, he's 6'2", 185, can run, can go up and get the ball. Got Trent Matthews returning at receiver. And then you got Lance Wise, who is one of those Wes Welker top slot receivers that can go get the ball anywhere. He had a great 7-on-7.
Hard-nosed kid.
Yeah, I think he, at 7-on-7 in the game that we won to go to semifinals, I think he had 3 of the 5 touchdowns. You know, he'll find those creases, and he's that guy when he sees the quarterback struggling, he adjusts that route. You know, the route's not over just because you didn't get the ball. Go find the ball. He's that type of guy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, John can go up and get it. He's a big, tall kid. We haven't had that in a while, you know. And then you have Matthews, who's very smart, already knows the offense. So, yeah, we're excited about it.
Well, just looking at these players so far, a lot of experience there. I mean, you know, Cole's this will be his 3rd year to start. Ulysses Cotto, 3rd year.
Right.
You know, I know Pickett's played all the time at Horatio till he came up here. And then you look at Trent Matthews, he's a 3-year starter too.
Right.
So you got a lot of more experience than what you've had in the past.
Yeah, and the best thing about, you know, the experienced kids that we have, they're all kids that you don't have to worry about where they're going to be. These are not kids that I have to call to see if they're showing up to practice. These are not kids that I have to check to make sure they're doing their reps in the weight room. They're always there. They're bought in. And they're all multi-sport players. I mean, you know, some of them are playing golf and football same time. Some are doing cross-country and football same time. And I want kids to – I tell them that you're only going to be a kid once. You do everything you can. You know, so we're big on that at DeQueen, and they do that. And, yeah, I'm excited about him.
What about a tight end coach? Your tight end in your offense has to be very versatile.
Yep.
Has to block a lot and then needs to have decent hands.
We McCaden Smith, we call him Princess, but he's McCaden.
We'll remember that.
Yeah. McCaden is a very, you know, he's a big kid. He's 6'1". He's probably 215. If I had to say, but he is a very hard-nosed game-type player. His blocking ability at tight end is unbelievable when we have him in there. And then his hands, he doesn't have blazing speed, but what he does have is good hands.
Yeah.
And so you're so used to, you know, those wings getting the ball and that fullback getting the ball over and over and over. Next thing you know, you dump it to him and he's there.
McCaden's just been a little misfortunate. The injury bug.
Yeah, he broke his arm. I felt bad. Again, he got the nickname Princess. From the part that he was usually always whining about an injury or something like that. But then it turned out that his injuries were pretty serious, but the nickname stuck. But anyways, he's a hard-nosed kid. So at our tight end position, he's going to be very, very versatile for us. Yeah.
Now, your offensive line, a kid I dearly love, Jeremiah Cotto, just a great kid, great attitude, 300-pound bench press, 500-pound squat, and you moving him to the middle, right?
We're going to move Jeremiah to center, and the reason that he is one, again, he's such a smart kid, so hard-nosed, love to be around him. He's not the biggest kid in the world, again. You know, he's a shorter center, but with the center, he's fast, he can pull, and when, say, you put a big nose on him, that's 300 pounds. Cotto's center of gravity is so low, and he squats 500 pounds, that he's going to get underneath that guy's pads, and he'd drive him off the ball no matter what. And I think, you know, they had a guy from Lakeside that's got a lot of D1 offers, and they threw him on top of Cotto last year, and the guy got so frustrated that he was swinging punches at Cotto just because he's so low and so quick on moving that, you know, he just gets in people's heads because you think, oh, this guy's a little bitty.
Late side kid throwing a punch, that's a shock.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
they didn't call anything on him.
Yeah, he's that kid that once he gets his hands on you, you know, if you squat 500 pounds and you got leverage, you're going to move somebody. So, yeah, we're very happy to have him there. And, you know, and then we got some returning stars on the O-line. You know, we got Esteban Alvarez, which is one of our strongest kids in the weight room again, another 300-pound bench presser. You know, he's really bulked up. He's not your typical lineman, you know, with a little bit of that baby fat. You know, he's 230 pounds of lean muscle. You know, he's a strong kid. And then, you know, we got Darian Henderson, which to me is going to be one of our biggest assets on both sides of the ball. I'm hoping to use him more on defense. You know, him being, you know, 6'3", 6'4", 315. You know, he bench presses over 315 pounds. He actually called me out today in the weight room. That's why I'm so sweaty. He called me out on deadlifts. So me and him had a deadlift competition, and so my back's going to be hurting tomorrow. But, you know, me and him were fighting off on, you know, 465 on deadlift today. So he's one of those kids. A kid that's 6'4", that can pull 465 off the ground as a 15, 16-year-old is stout.
Yeah.
And we're very, very excited about him. We're hoping to get Juan Penaloza back. Juan had a devastating knee injury last year, had to have total knee reconstruction. He's due mid-August to have his strength test to be released. Hopefully we can get him back, you know, in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. I'm hoping week one, we'll just have to see how it goes. And we get Juan back and stick him out there, that's going to be a big help. But, again, if Juan doesn't not ever make it, we know we got a sophomore in Carlos Hernandez who can really move some guys around. He's very hard nosed. He got hurt last year in junior high, and he was one of those guys that was very next day fighting to get back and actually made it back for the last couple of games. So you like to see that type of fire. Absolutely. And drive again. And then we have 2-3 year starter Kanan Billingsley, who's been going to a lot of team camps this year. Kanan's really I don't want to say slimmed up, but I want to say trimmed up. He's gotten, you can see a lot of his muscle definition. He's gotten a lot faster, a lot stronger. He's another one of those kids that you don't have to worry about where he's at. So, and one of the most things I'm excited about is that we got Coach Tristan Snyder, who I coached and who played college football, now taking over that old line, and they have really taking leaps and bounds in just a month that he's had his hands on them.
That was a coup for us.
On how they're blocking and what they're doing and you know, sustaining blocks for four seconds. Their angles on their pulling is big because sometimes if you loop it out too wide, you miss, or if you go underneath, you're not there. Pass blocking on their steps, how they, you know, we, in the process, a lot of guys were stepping back and giving ground when we're not fast enough. So, you know, he's changed a lot of stuff on them. And so I'm really excited. I think they're going to have a big year at O-line.
Good. That's great. And there, looking again, you still got some players that have been, you know, Kanan Billingsley started for three
right,
years. So
right.
getting that experience, and that just helps, you know, knowing you've been there, you've seen these teams before,
right.
You kind of know what their philosophies are and what they're going to do. What about the kicking game?
We actually were working on that this morning. We, you know, as being seven-time state champions in soccer, you'd think you'd have a lot of kickers come out for football and you could, you know, boot one 50-yard field goal. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. I try to get a lot of guys out that can help us kick to say, you know, you're going to specialize to do kick. Right now, I am in a three-way battle for our kicker. We just did PATs and kickoff a while ago. Again, I'm not set on a kicker, but I'm certain that we can make extra points. I'm not certain I can kick a 35, 40-yard field goal. But, yeah, the kicking game right now, we're in a battle to find that starter.
Okay.
Well, I think one of the biggest things about that, you know, obviously you want to make the extra points but when you score, but if you can kick it in the end zone.
And that would be a dream to me.
Yeah.
if I could have a kicker that could get to the end zone, because then again, with the people that we play in our conference, you give them a chance and space with their athletes, they can return one at any time.
Yeah.
And so in the past, we've had to try to do some sky kicks and try to make them wave it off so it's a fair catch, or an onside kick, because you know, if we kick it deep, they're going to catch it on the 5 or 10 yard line. Well, right now, the deepest kicker we got is 10 to 15 yard line, so it's not looking right now that we have one that's going to go in the end zone. So we're going to have to get creative with our kickoff game to try not to give them those easy looks.
Right.
If maybe it's a squib and a missile right down the middle that they can't catch, or it's a fair catch. And I don't really like the sky kicks as much because it gives away a lot of field to them, but
yeah,
it's better than a touchdown.
Yeah.
So right then, that's one thing that we are struggling with. If I just wish I was back in the day when I had Kevin Barrera, that every time I knew you give him the ball, he's kicking it, he was going to go maybe through the uprights.
Yeah.
You know? And we're definitely needing that kid. We don't have him right now.
Yeah. Well, I just wondered.
If you're listening.
Positions opening.
Yeah, 100%.
I know there's some kids that can do it.
Yeah. Well,
that's the thing that's frustrating for you as a coach, I'm sure.
Oh, 100%. And I understand these kids. A lot of them, with our demographic, they absolutely love to play soccer, and I love watching them play soccer. And, mm-hmm. and it's a great sport, and it's growing in this town, and it's growing in this state, you know. So I love seeing them. I've traveled with the soccer team to all of their state playoff games, stayed in the hotel room with them, and, you know, I like seeing them compete. Again, those guys like to play year-round club soccer, which is right in the middle of football season, you know. So it's kind of hard to pull them away from a sport that they love and they feel safe at to come out and kick a ball that's totally shaped different than the one they're used to, you know what I mean? But, you know, if we could get a couple of them out with a really strong leg, that would really, really help us. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could get our opponents to agree, at least on kickoffs, to use that round ball.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, they might like that. Yeah.
This might be a good opportunity. You talked about Coach Snyder, just to mention any new coaches you have this year.
Yeah, so football-wise, on the offensive, on the senior high staff, the only one that we replaced was Coach Snyder. Again, he was a big pickup for us in the offseason, and I had been talking to him for the last couple of years to try to get him back home and back to Dequan, just because I knew what an asset he was to have. And then again, I'm in the situation where I can make sure that our kids, including my son and my daughter, have good young men or young women in front of them to teach them good skills and teach them how to be a good person. And I think we've done that with Tristan. Also, I hired Adrian Mendoza, which was a absolute stud linebacker for us. He was a few years younger than Drew and Snyder. And I hired him as our junior high defensive coordinator and linebackers coach. And again, you know, I know his work ethic. I know he's going to be a good guy. And again, I put him in junior high. You know, my son's going to be down there, and a lot of my kids that I knew in Pee Wee that I coached are going to be down there. So putting those two guys in a position to help our team is going to be big. So, yeah, those are the two new acquisitions we have on football.
Okay.
Let's talk about the first part of the schedule.
Let's do that.
Open up with the Mena Bearcats. I guess it's a rivalry that goes back way past 100 years. Jay talks about a game in 1912 when the Queen actually rode a train to Mena to play the ball game. Yeah. And Jack died on the Titanic. Bearcats went 5-6 last year, Coach. They're picked sixth by Hootens in their 8-team league, the 4A4. But they lost a key piece, Michael Sullivan transferring to Sheridan.
Right.
And we got him here. Should be a good ball game.
Yeah. Last year, you know, we went to Mena, and I thought the first half, you know, we had one of the worst starts to games, fumbles, snaps over our head, and you know it was still a close ball game at halftime, and I really thought that when we come out second half that you know we were going to pull it together and have a game, but it was just one of those games that I want to say five turnovers, I don't remember, but it was a lot,
close, yes.
And it was just one of those games that we could not recover from. And I think if we play like we're capable of, and we do the right things that we have been doing all summer, that it's definitely a winnable game for the Dequan Leopards. If we play like we can, because Mena's always going to bring a tough team. They're always hard-nosed. They're always well-coached. I think it's one of those games, if we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, it's definitely could be a victory for the Leopards.
And I think it's a good game for us. It's a pretty local rivalry. You're talking about, you know, schools maybe an hour away. And
correct.
Even though on the wins and losses here lately, they've kind of got the best of us. The games are competitive.
Right, yeah. And that's the main thing that you try to do, for your preseason games is find competitive games that make your kids better. You know, you want to come out of your preseason games not banged up, not hurt. And I can remember back when I played and the year after we played for a state championship game and Coach Jeff Jones said, we're going to change it up and we're going to not play Bismarck and we're going to go play Greenwood. And I was like, Greenwood? And he said, yeah. I was like, okay, there's one state championship six times in a row. That's going to be good. And we ended up coming out of that game with two guys in a hospital, one broke leg, and I had a concussion. So, you know, it's just you don't want to come out of games like that. You want to have competitive games because I can promise you the hard games that we're going to play – are going to be physical are going to be in our conference when we come out of the preseason.
Yeah, right. You got plenty of those.
We got plenty of those.
Yeah, you need some games that give you some confidence.
And that can be like competitive games.
And you don't get people hurt.
Correct.
That's what you want to do in the preseason before you get to the conference games.
And I think Manning is a very, very good game for us.
I agree. And in game two at Horatio, familiar opponent but new opponent for us, and a new coach, Paul David Willis.
Yeah, how that come about was, again, I had known Coach Kassman, who was at Horatio. I actually coached Coach Kassman. I kind of showing my age here, but I coached Coach Kassman at Lafayette County, and he was a very, very outstanding player and went up going to SAU. But anyways, I had talked to Coach, and they were looking for a preseason game, and I checked with Jay, and I think it was 1991 was when we stopped playing them. So it used to be a huge, you know, rivalry, you know, among them, only six to eight miles away. Mm-hmm. So it used to be a huge rivalry. We kind of went away from that. So I thought that would be another good time for the Leopards to have a competitive team around us that we can bring back a rivalry to Sevier County. You know,
it's a win-win for both sides.
I think it'll be great.
It'll be a big crowd at Horatio.
And I think next year when they come to DeQueen, it'll be another big crowd. And it's another one of those games, I think, again, it will be competitive for both teams, and we'll get a lot out of it. But that came about by talking to Lance. And, we had dropped Ashdown and Nashville. They were in a coach's transition, and I was trying to lock down games with those guys, and they were on their way out.
Right.
And they were wanting to change some games. One was wanting to change the games to week one, which I already had meaning locked down.
Right.
And I was like, well, I don't want to switch this around for you guys. So basically, they were wanting us to accommodate a little bit. And my whole thing was that when I'm looking for a guy that I want to play, which was Lance, unfortunately Lance is not there anymore. But if I could help Lance out, we could get a game and help out the two towns of Horatio and DeQueen, which are so close, kind of like the same community a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do that.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it is. And what about do you know a lot about Horatio and Paul David Willis? He was there before.
Yeah, he's been there before. I don't know a whole lot about him. Again, I was preparing for the same thing that I knew with what Lance was doing. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen his style of offense. I've looked into it a little bit, what he did at past places, but I think he's done a lot of different stuff. So I think a lot is going to depend on the kids that he has and what he's going to run, you know what I mean? Because, again, he's kind of like us. You know, we would love to run a lot of different things, but sometimes if you don't have the horses, you're not going to the Kentucky Derby. So I think it's going to be a good game. I think that I was told they had, high 20s, 28, 29 kids out for the team, it's going to be a surprise. You know, we will get film, get to see what they have, and that'll probably be the first time I see what they really do have.
Well, looking forward to that. I think that's a good move on our part to schedule them. They're close, and they, same. So just going to be a great rivalry.
Right.
Good gate, and that's what we talk about on here. You know, no sense in going 4 hours away to play ball games when you can play somebody 8 miles away and get a good gate, and everybody has, it's a competitive game.
It's all the money here in Sevier County in these two school systems. I mean, it's a win.
Yeah, I had three teams from Texas and two from Oklahoma, all looking for those two preseason games, and all of them were within 2 hours away or more. And I thought, again, me and Coach Kassman both, and Sprit, Coach Sprit, AD there, thought, it was just a no-brainer to get this community a big rivalry game to come watch.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
And go ahead.
Oh, well, week three, Lafayette County, another new opponent. Hootons just pick them sixth in the 3A 2. And they describe them as experienced but not deep. But I know they have a tradition of being very athletic.
So, yeah, I coached at Lafayette County, me and Coach Binkley both coached there, and I know that the talent level they have is a lot of speed. I see them at track meets, again, a lot of speed. So, and Coach Ivory there, we played against each other in high school. He played for Ashdown. I played here for DeQueen. So I know Ivory well. It's another one of those deals whenever Ashdown and Nashville were going through the transition of coaches. I had reached out to people that I know and that, I had played balls with or played against, and Ivory was in the same boat we were, looking at 2 hours or 3 hour away games, whereas Lafayette County is about an hour and 25 minutes away for us to play. Again, they have a lot of skill kids. They would definitely have more speed than we have. I think that, we'll have the uptick on them on maybe on lineman size and that size and maybe experience. But again, Lafayette County is one of those teams. If when you watch them on film, any player that has that ball in their hand can do something special because they're so talented in athletic ability and speed.
So by the way, I just want you to know this. You know, we used to play. Of course, it was Louisville and Stamps.
Right. Yeah, I remember playing Stamps when I was in school,
and we did that too. But that was a long trip for us.
Yeah. Well, we played Stamps when I was in high school, and I'll never forget. I was a sophomore, and Ronald Jones was a junior, and we went to Stamps, and me and Ronald both played, and Ronald left his helmet. Well, I played defense, and Ronald played offense, so we would use my helmet back and forth, and we would switch, and we would go in. We used the same helmet because we both have what you call a very large size 8 hat head, so you couldn't just, the helmet that we had in the extra equipment bag, you know, looked like a little tea kettle on top of our head. So me and him,
they didn't call you bucket head in school, did they?
100% jug head, goat head, everything else. But yeah, we had a long tradition back when I was in high school that, you know, Stamps was one of our preseason games,
yeah.
And I married a girl from Stamps, and her father played my father from Stamps. You know, he still has the schedule from when he beat D Queen his junior year, hanging up at their house. So that again used to be a rivalry. They used to play each other all the time. They were in the same conference. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So just bringing back some familiar opponents, but we haven't played them in a while.
Yep. And I think that's great to play them.
Right.
I think Lafayette County is a good fit for us at this point in time.
I know a lot of people there from back when I worked there, and I contacted them and talked to them again. Talk to Ivory. It's just one of those things where it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I knew these two head coaches that I had talked to, and we came together and made it happen. Ivory's still there again. You know, Lance has left Horatio. But again, I think it's two games is really going to work for us.
After a bye week, it's week 4 open up conference season against the Hope Bobcats, picked 7th in our league. They were 2-8 last year. Another QB who went elsewhere. I don't know where he went, but I know he has went elsewhere.
Yeah, Hope had a team last year, guys. I'm telling you right now, they could have won a lot of games, and they were right there at it with many, many schools. You know, they could have won 5 or 6 games. They just fell short on a lot of them last year, and they lost 22 seniors. You know, so they had a big, big senior class. Lost a lot of good guys, and again, so I think in our conference with Hope. They're about like us, dressing 40 to 45 guys, where the rest of everybody else is dressing 90. I think Magnolia's over 100 this year, that they got. They're going to have to cut them down. But, us and Hope, right after the bye week, hopefully we come out of preseason healthy. That was our goal on our schedule.
Yeah.
And coming into Hope, that's going to be our
bye week's in the right place.
Yeah, it's right in the right place. You've got some guys banged up. You can kind of get them back healthy. And then we come back and we play Hope at our place for homecoming, which should be a banger of a ball game this year. I really do think these first 4 ball games that we play are going to be exciting, competitive ball games that could go either way, and hopefully they go the way of the Leopards, and we get we start off with a good year.
I know one weapon they still got is JJ Gully.
Oh yeah, Gully.
220. I remember we were calling junior high football, and we watched him walk out on the field, and it was before the ball game in street clothes, maybe before the 7th grade game, and Greg said, "Man, look at that kid." And I said, surely he's just a varsity kid that's coming down here with the junior high. Yeah. No, he wasn't.
No.
He is he's for sure a stud. I think he's probably 225, 230, something like that.
They got him 220 in Hootens.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's a big kid that can run. So he's definitely, with our size, we're going to have to, tackle from the waist down. You're not hitting that kid up high.
But, no.
I mean, they still have weapons. They still have – Hope always has speed. I know both of those coaches well, Coach Turner, which is going to do the offense this year because their offensive coordinator went to Ashdown. And then Coach Clark, I coached with him at Lafayette County, so I know both of them, both good coaches. They're going to be a well-coached team. They're going to have talent. But, again, I think, this is a game, if we don't shoot ourselves in the foot and we don't have a lot of penalties and turnovers that go the other way, I think, these first 4 ball games are going to be exciting to watch for the D Queen Leopards.
Yeah, and I think when you look at what Hope's done over the last 5 years, essentially – the only games they've won have been games against the Leopards.
Right, correct.
Pretty much. Every once in a while they won one. So, and it's usually been, the score may not have been close, but they were close in good games. And I think this year, like you said, and I think that's going, we talked about this last year, with the offense you're running, the key things are no turnovers and no penalties.
Yeah. Hope was, if I remember, I think Hope was our last conference win that we had when we've gone up to 5A. So, like I said, it's always been that competitive game within two or three scores. Again, this last year, I thought that they had a really, really solid
game. They were very talented. Were 2-8 doesn't do them justice.
No, they. I thought that they could have been the other way, 8-2.
Well, really I think they beat Ashdown for their other win.
They did.
And they, and they were beating Nashville, and they were beating they were beating Arkansas High, you know, so they were ahead in a lot of ball games. So there's a really, really good team, and I hated it for Coach Turner last year because it's one of those group of kids that you come through that, hey, you know, this could be the
You're
one.
You're pointing at that year.
Yeah, this could be the one, and it just kind of fell short for him.
Yeah.
And then it's the 76 Steelers after, after the
that's
Bobcats.
That's going to be an interesting one. So what are we doing week six? Let's move on.
We got to tell you one story about the Parkview Patriots. We got to interview Rex Nelson. We're going to get to interview him again this year. Just an amazing man.
Right.
And we were saying, well, Rex, who do you think the best team in the state is? And, of course, he went to Bryant, you know.
Right.
And Greg and I said, no. They're not the best team in the state. The best team in the state's in our conference. It's Parkview Patriots. And it wasn't a week or two later.
They beat them.
That's exactly right.
They beat them. Yeah,
and I kind of messaged Rex on Facebook and reminded him.
we're going to get him this time. And, you know, the thing about me is I think what you ought to do is you ought to tell them, hey, we're not playing y'all on Thursday night.
Right. The problem with that, you know, because we play at War Memorial, and they share that with another school, so they rotate who plays on Thursday, who plays on Friday, so it's not even their call. War Memorial kind of makes that decision for them, who's playing what.
So what night are we playing them on this year?
We're going to play them on Thursday.
Okay.
At War Memorial.
And we will not have a junior game that night?
No. So
we do.
We have, but we're going to have to play one, but we're splitting our staffs up because, again, we don't have – we have one staff of eight, but we help with all.
Right.
So I'll leave my junior high coaches, and they'll play a game, and we'll go to Parkview with the senior high staff.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, it's fine that, you know, these younger guys, which we do have young guys, but they're led by Drew Dykes, who I would put in charge of anything that we have at our school. He's one of those guys that's only been coaching 2 or 3 years, but he's a 10 or 12-year veteran to me, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about that at all. I'll definitely be more focused and worried about, you know, who we're playing in Parkview. I don't know that they've gotten lost much. I mean, they lost a quarterback, but then gained an Alabama committed quarterback who moved in. So,
they moved from Maul Mel.
And then they had a couple other guys last year that are going to be back. They lost the running back, but they had, at one point last year, they had three guys with flying 40 times in the top 10 of NCAA football, not high school football, but NCAA. They were in the top 10 on speed, on flying 40s.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was during games that they were clocked. And so they didn't lose a whole lot. Again, it's kind of one of those things in Little Rock where they can move to any school they kind of want to in that, you know,
right,
in that town. So there's going to be one school that's going to be really, really good at baseball, really, really good. And there's going to be another one be really good at football. There's going to be another one really good at basketball. And those kids kind of migrate to those schools that way. But, again, it's going to be a very, very tough game for us on our guys. Again, those another one of those games that I think we need to try to come out of healthy, not get anybody hurt. Again, they're going to come. We're going to come to play. I think last year we kind of hit them in the mouth a little bit and woke them up, made them a little bit mad when we come down and scored on them real quick in the ball game. Coach Bolden called timeout on the sideline, pulled all of his guys up, and I could hear him screaming from across the field. And I was turning to my boys and said, hey, get ready because here they come. And they sure did. But, again, the Leopards aren't going to back down from anybody we play in our conference. We know how tough it is. We know how tough they are. But, again, like we did last year when we played them, we're going to hit them in the mouth as long as we can. We get knocked down, we're going to get back up, and we're going to do it again.
Brad Boulding's a guy I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, again, he could beat anybody that he plays, Coach Bolden. If he wanted to, you know, he could really, really beat you by 70 to 80 points if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, he's that guy, you know, he'll talk to you. He said, Coach, you know, if it happens, get out of hand, and we're playing. He goes, I'm going to put my guys in and get it worked. He goes, I'm not here to do anything against, you know, lesser opponents. And not saying that DeQuinn character-wise is lesser, but as far as athletes and speed and what they have, he knows that, again, anybody he plays that is not to their caliber.
Yeah, it's not just us.
Oh, it's a lot of people, yeah.
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 He's definitely, you know, he's they're 100% picked to three-peat, and I think that, you know, they got a good shot at doing it.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely do.
I think they do. Just do me one favor.
Yeah.
Don't kick it right to old Marion Robertson.
Yeah,
Robinson the first.
Yeah, so we were doing a sky kick, and Coach Parson,
yeah, I know.
Coach Parson, you know, bless his heart, I was sitting there, I said, all right, man, I'm going to be standing down there about 35. I'm going to wave my arm. I said, you're going to sky kick it to me. Well, we sky kicked it, and we kicked it out of bounds. I was like, all right, well, he's going to take the ball. Bolden's like, no, we're going to make y'all kick it. I was like, oh, here we go. And so I told Joseph, I said, you think he can make it to the end zone? He goes, well, we might have could, but not now. We backed up and said, all right, sky kick it again. Well, that kid saw that we're going to sky kick, and he took off running when the ball was kicked, and he caught it
on a full speed run,
and I don't think he was touched. I mean, just gone. As soon as he caught it, you know, I had some choice words on the sideline to myself that I won't repeat on the radio, but I was like, hey, here we go. Yeah, so anyway, I looked down there at Parson. He wouldn't even look at me. But it wasn't his fault. He's like, I told him. I was like, I know.
Yeah. Oh, that was a perfect imitation of Joe Parson.
I told you.
But, yeah, just a really tough team to play, and right. Not just for the Leopards, for any team in the state.
Anybody that comes up
against them. Ask the Bryant team.
Yeah.
Bryant, again, you know, they beat Bryant. Of course, it wasn't a blowout. But, again, most of the teams that they played in our conference, they got it right to the mercy rule, and then they would throw in their twos or threes.
Yeah.
There wasn't, you know, I think Camden Fairview played them the closest. But then again, you know, they pulled away.
42-14 was the closest conference game they had.
Yeah, so they pulled away quickly, you know what I mean? They played them close. And then once it gets to that mercy rule, and he mercy ruled everybody in our conference.
Yes.
Not just us. I mean, everybody. And we have a lot of great teams in our conference. But once it gets to that point, he'd throw those twos and threes in there. So instead of their closest game in conference being 42-14, it could have been 72-14. You know what I mean? It's just one of those games.
And you look at their opening game in the 23 season, they beat Springdale Harbor 52-21. So it's not like they're just not, you know, but anyway, Coach Bell, we appreciate you coming in and so much. And we're going to visit with you some more later on about the defense in the last five games.
Okay. That sounds good. Appreciate y'all having me.
Thank you.
All right. Big thanks to Coach Bell for hopping on the podcast yet again to launch the season off. What a great guy. Come on, man. Awesome.
Can't beat him.
No.
And he's ready to go. You can tell.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's ready to go.
Yeah. Well, before we get on to the Panthers, I did want to bring up DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen, 870-642-8387.
Vets.
Yes, exactly. Vets. You can go. All of their Google reviews are off the chain, 5 stars across the board. And I think we've all had to deal with DeQueen Animal Hospital recently, and they are just absolutely excellent.
Couldn't be better.
Yeah, for sure, man. They make you feel good. The people up there are very nice, and you always want that when you're dropping your, you know, whatever you want to call them, pets. Some people call them fur babies. I don't personally go in for that, but your family. That's right, your family.
That's right.
Yeah, it's your family, and you want to drop the family. You want to drop them off with somebody that you can trust. You know, it'd be a shame if something were to happen to. No, I'm kidding. It's not at the DeQueen Animal Hospital. They're just fine. And don't forget about Ashdown Veterinary Clinic as well. They have all of Southwest Arkansas covered. 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Just make sure to call and schedule you an appointment today, and they'll be able to take care of really anything that you need as well that DeQueen Animal Hospital can do. So the Martins, absolutely fantastic people, and they've been sponsoring this podcast
since day one
as well, so we appreciate them so much. And they have so much to offer, of course, in Sevier County. They're always joined in on community stuff, and obviously everybody, lots of people have pets, and then they look at livestock and large animals as well. So
yeah,
big service.
They'll do it all, and really appreciate all that.
Dr. Martin, yeah. and Kenny and Jennifer Martin,
that's right, for us, and they even got a legacy now.
Mm-hmm.
And Kayla started her veterinary. She's a vet now, so she's been out there working some too.
Nice.
We appreciate them so much for all they do for our podcast, and not only that, for the community.
Absolutely. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it, man. Jim Cross.
Jim?
Yes, sir.
Good to hear from you, man. It's been a while.
That's sure. It has been a while.
I've kind of missed our visits, and I'm looking forward to a great football season.
Yeah, it's getting that time again. It's hard to imagine when it's 101 degrees, but It won't be long. 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be playing football.
And it'll just be 95.
That's right. That's right. I'm glad we're not going to Mina so I don't have to sit in that hot box again.
Oh, yeah, Mina. The old Mina hot box. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
But it tends to get hotter when they don't turn the air conditioning on.
That's exactly right. But anyway, looking at Ashdown this year, you got a new coach, Eric McCaslin, came to you from Hope.
Yeah, Coach McCaslin is a real upbeat, high-energy guy. He's an offensive, kind of an offensive mind. He wants to throw the football. It's going to be a pretty wide-open attack. And it's kind of interesting. You know, we appreciate Coach Richardson, what all he did for Ashdown. But in some ways, it's kind of a different approach. You know, Coach Richardson's more of a defensive mind, and he kind of wanted to slow the game down a little bit. And then Coach McCaslin's going to come in and speed the game up. And so it's going to be an interesting adjustment, I think, for our players.
Well, you know, the thing is, when I was reading the Hootons article, you all did run a lot. Even though you spread the field out, you all ran a lot out of that. Sounds like you're going to be a lot more balls in the air this season.
Yeah, I have a feeling with Wood Walton, I mean, he's going to get as many balls as he can handle. He's a D1 prospect, several different offers. And then we've got a couple of 10th graders in Bryson French and Jaden Brown, who also are big-time receivers. And then Walt Jones, who's already received a baseball offer to play for the Razorbacks, he's coming back out for football this year.
That's good news.
He's a very good athlete, and so he's going to be a receiver. So our strength is going to be the receiver position.
Well, you know, mentioning with Walton, he offers from Ole Miss and Missouri that Hootons mentioned. Has he got offers other than that that you know about?
He had one from DeQueen.
He had an offer from DeQueen.
I had a good visit with Wood the other day, and he has put on, just by looking at him, he's probably put on 15 pounds, and he's a lot stronger. And, I just anticipate that he's going to have a fantastic year. And, I mean, I'm sure that we're going to get the ball to him. But what that means is somebody else is going to be open. If you try to double him or, you know, slide the safety over, it's going to get down to what it always does for us guys, and probably the same with DeQueen. Can we protect the quarterback? And if we can, I think we'll have a big year. And if we don't, then it's going to be tough. But Jared Baker, he's kind of waited his turn, and Jared throws the ball as good as anybody I've seen in a long time. He kind of reminds me of, I don't want to put this pressure on, he kind of reminds me of Jaden Hill, his way as the ball just flies out of his hand. He's got a real smooth touch. Now, he's not a big runner. He's not going to run like Grayson Porter did last year. But if you leave him in the pocket, he can make all the throws.
Wow. Well, and then you talked about the offensive line. It does look like you've got three lineman back that had some experience last year. You know, we know Radarius Norman, Buster Avery, MJ Hurt. How's the rest of that line looking? Because you're right, that's key. If you can't pass protect, it's going to be hard to throw the ball.
Yeah, you know. Thank goodness we got our center back, Avery Buster. He's a 2-year starter, and you feel comfortable anytime you got your center coming back, and he's kind of the captain of the offense. But Colton Rowe is going to slide in at a guard, and he's had some experience. He's an 11th grader. He'll probably play some guard, and then that fifth position, you know, from what I've seen and what I've been told, it's kind of up in the air right now, and so we'll probably know more after that first scrimmage against Arkansas High. But you feel good about Radarius Norman. Avery Buster's, in my opinion, good as any center around. And then MJ Hurd coming back from an injury, but he does have experience. And then Colton Rowe will slide in. And then looking for that fifth guy, I think it's going to be a big key for us.
Do you, Jim, you talked about Walt Jones. Any other surprises that are new people coming out that you didn't know about, at the end of the spring maybe?
Yeah, Riley Williamson, the young man from Horatio, he played quarterback at Horatio last year as a 10th grader. He'll play, and talking to Coach McCaslin, they'll have some packages for him. Jerry Baker's the quarterback, but Riley possibly could have some, he's more of a runner, could have some packages. But according to Coach Eric McCaslin, that Riley Williamson is a fantastic safety. And so they're really excited to have him at the safety position, because that was one of the positions that we kind of had a hole after some guys left last year. So Riley Williamson, the Horatio transfer, it'll be a big bonus for us that we weren't expecting to get. And then Antonio McDuffie, who transferred to Texas High, is in works of transferring back here.
Oh, wow.
He hasn't been on the field yet because of, you know how all that goes. You got to get everything signed and your I's dotted and T's crossed. But he's supposed to be out soon, and that's a big boost as well.
Oh, yeah. He was a great player last year.
Yeah, that'll be a big boost for the Panthers.
Yeah.
It does look like offensively y'all have got a lot of weapons. I know Fricks ate us up last year. Has real good speed, a junior. But on defense, it may be, maybe not as many weapons as you have on offense.
Yeah, we've lost a few guys on defense. Nash Brown, Caleb Blankenship, those were really, really good players that we lost. But the good news is we have Hayden Ziegler, who in a lot of ways is kind of a Nash Brown type of linebacker, had over 100 tackles last year. He can run. He'll stuff up the middle. And then Coy Williams was returning defensive end. He led the team in sacks last year. So he's returning. The key is going to be, I think, guys, is figuring out who's going to play those two tackles. And, Rodarius Norman can play some of that. But you really don't want a lot of guys going both ways, if possible. So that's a hole we're looking at. Sheldon Thompson had experience at cornerback last year. Also, Deshaun Clarity had some snaps at cornerback as well. So those guys have some experience. But we don't have a lot of depth. We only got 36 guys out, and that's just not very many for 4A football.
No, it's not. Frederick Hunter, senior, has some size, too. You expect him to play some on the defensive line?
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Frederick. Yeah, he had some snaps at defensive tackle last year. He's a junior. He's gained a little bit of weight, got a little bit stronger. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him. He's probably the incumbent of the guy with the most experience to play defensive tackle. He played basketball last year, which is good for him. And I think just in talking to him, going from a 10th grader to 11th grader in that line is like a whole different world, because now he'll be one of the stronger guys instead of just trying to survive as a 10th grader.
Also new on defense, Jim, y'all have got a new defensive coordinator. Is that correct? Ernest Reed?
Yeah, Ernest Reed.
Any philosophies going to change on defense from the Panthers of the past?
Yeah, I think we're going to be a little bit more concerned with the stopping the pass. That's just kind of what I've seen so far. Might play an extra defensive back at times, maybe a little quicker and not as big. Probably be more of a speed oriented situation. And but really, for the talent that we have, that's probably best. We just don't have a lot of 250-pound guys walking down the hallway right now, and so that's kind of our weakness. And we had a couple of guys that we thought might play, and they decided not to play, and so we got a few 10th graders, Ethan Warner, Taylor Mitchell, some of those guys that as the season goes on, Carter Thrash, he could also play some snaps as well as the 10th grader. So those are some guys that we're going to need as the season goes on. But, those are some of the holes that we have on defense. But I think Coach Reed's going to play probably a little bit more blitzing style, perhaps. That's just kind of what I've seen so far. And probably pretty aggressive. And, it goes both ways. You'll make some big plays. You may give up a big play. But I kind of think that's kind of the mentality from Coach McCaslin and the staff.
Well, I saw something the other day where defensive coordinators, they're more concerned now about tackles for loss than they are average per carry. And the reasoning being, you want to put offenses in second and long, third and long, and you're more concerned with that than giving up 4 or 5 yards of carry, which makes some sense to me. Me being old school, it grinds me the wrong way. But
yeah, you're right. The game has changed. It's just a different. You're spreading the field, and it's almost like you got to get them behind the chains.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's second and five, there's just so much they can do, and so I think that's probably some of the theory. Coach McCaslin, though, guys, y'all need to visit with him. He's as excitable and enthusiastic. I mean, if I could play, I'd put pads on, but I can't. So
you don't have any eligibility left, right?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I tried to come back for a 45th year, but they wouldn't let me.
Maybe you'd get one of those medical red shirts.
Yeah. But he's full of enthusiasm. He's big in the weight room. Got a new weights whole new weight program started, and so he's excited. He's also heavily involved in the junior high. He's even wanting to be involved with the Pee Wee program. I mean, he is full bore, guys.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. That's how you build your program right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just, Jim, just talking about the schedule a little bit, a couple of changes. We talked about one off the air before. You know, the Panthers aren't going to play the Leopards this year. But just looking at y'all start off with Hope, and y'all owe them one from last year.
We do. And actually, it's not 100% official, but it looks like we're going to play Little Rock Mills on September the 6th. That's in conversations right now, and talking to Coach McCaslin on Thursday, he thought that would be probably cemented in by the end of this week. So we'll have us 10 games. And so,
yeah, you only have 9 games and don't play the first 2 weeks of the season. Is that correct?
Yes.
Hooten's got that right? Yeah. So
yes, that was terrible. Yeah. So you didn't want that.
Well, or really good, depending on how you look at it. But, but Mills would definitely be a test. That would be a good ball game for y'all to pick up.
Yeah, I think so. And, talking to the coaches, they're about number-wise where we are. You know, they got 40, 45 guys. So kind of in the same situation that we're in, lost a few guys. And so it should be a good starting point. And then, like you say, we owe Hope one. But then Idabel is probably going to be as strong as they've been. Those guys that were sophomores that have been so good, now they're seniors.
That's right.
And I would say, fellas, that Idabel could compete with anybody in our conference.
Right. Well, looking at the schedule, it's not what I would call an easy one. Hope seems to play well early in the year for whatever reason. Y'all getting them at the wrong time because they do play well early in the year. They're picked 7th in our league. Idabel. Like I say, they're going to be all that in a bag of chips. Would the Mills game be at home to give you all an extra home game?
Yes, it'll be at home.
Okay, that's good. The schedule was not looking good early in the year for you guys as far as being there in Ashdown.
And then schedule-wise, conference-wise, this is just my opinion from what I hear. Arkadelphia is going to be great as always. Malvern will be a little bit down because they lost to Pre, but they'll still be plenty solid. Box Site's going to be as good as they've been in probably 10 years, which that's great news. And and Nashville, they may – I hate to say one way or the other, but I don't think they're going to be quite as good as they've been in the past, but they'll certainly be good. And then Harmony Grove, you know, they're going to run the flex bone, and you get to week 6 or 7 and you've been playing the spread – and in 3 days, you try to stop the flex bone. That's always difficult. And then what's funny, fellas, is the 10th game of the season, which could be riding a playoff berth, we're going to be playing Coach Richardson in Fountain Lake for homecoming.
I noticed that as well.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, they did you a favor again this year and allowed you to play the top 4 teams right in order there.
That's the way we like it.
Yeah, I know you do. You've been used to doing that every year. So no break,
well,
you know.
I will tell you this, and I've read about Bauxite as well. I know what Malvern has been. If Bauxite finishes ahead of Malvern, if Bauxite beats Malvern head-to-head, I'll eat my hat.
And to be honest, fellas, I think a lot of that is because of the young man, the Wimberley guy that they have from Bauxite, who's an Oklahoma commit. But Malvern has a lot of guys like that. You know, they got – but, of course, Malvern, they lost 4 D1 guys.
Right.
So, but still – they seem to grow on trees over there, so it's hard to ever convince me that Malvern's going to be down.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way.
Well, it just looks like a murderer's row again for the Ashdown Panthers once you get there in the meat of the schedule, but having a 10-game schedule is going to be a big advantage for y'all. That's going to allow y'all to get a couple of more games in before the season begins. It's also going to, when you look at the first 5 games, you've got that, you've got Haskell, Harmony, Grove, but the other ones other than Ida Bell are ones that y'all should be competitive in and probably win. And so that gets you started off well. Then you got to go through that murderer's row. Then you finish up with Coach Richardson, and I'm sure he'll get a nice welcome as he comes back to Ashdown.
Well, yeah, we'll give him a good welcome.
Yeah, that's what I figured, Jim. Yeah. Anything else you want to tell us before we let you go today?
I think that covers it, fellas. Looking forward to a great season. Appreciate the good work y'all do, and let's hope that DeQueen and Ashdown have a good season this year.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great. We appreciate you so much, Jim, and all you do for us, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Hey, sounds great, fellas. Take care.
Go Panthers, man.
Go Panthers indeed, and we are going to take a second to talk about our title sponsor, who's been with us since the very inception of the podcast. Of course, we're talking about Walker Family Clinic, as well as all the other great businesses that they have going on around town, the empire, as they say. But Walker Family Clinic, your multi-specialty clinic here in DeQueen, open Monday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 777 is their motto. They have you covered with all the stuff that you've come to know and expect that comes with a multi-specialty and family clinic, but much, much more, including their pediatrician that they've brought to Sevier County here, which I use. Nick Matthews. He's a great guy. Very, very impressed. He was actually able to figure out something that was wrong with my son that nobody else was able to. We went to like three different doctors and then finally tried out Nick Matthews here in town. And I was very, very happy with him. He's a great guy and really good with Miles, you know, really good with my son. And I'm sure he'll be really good with your kiddos as well. So very, very excited to have a pediatrician right across from the station, just right across the street there for emergencies and checkups and all that kind of stuff. He's a really, really good guy. Plus all the stuff that they have going on at Walker Family Clinic in general. But there's so much more, man. Simple Simons still going strong. They do their 50-50s every first Monday of every month, I do believe, and various different benefactors that has.
They know. Just so good for the community.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to pick 12 worthy charities or however you want to say it a year and give them, you know, split the proceeds with them 50-50. I know it'll be too late to do anything about it by the time this airs, but I think tonight it's the Cancer Society.
I think that was last week.
Was it really?
Well, last week was the first, wasn't it?
No, this is the first Monday.
No, this is the first Monday. You're right. I'm sorry.
But it's still too late to do anything about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But just goes to show you know, the Cancer Society here just had a dinner for survivors. And buys gas for people going back and forth to work or to their treatments, excuse me. Angie and Randy helping them out.
Absolutely.
Tonight.
Yeah, they're great.
They always have various different, charitable organizations or potentially, you know, like the Booster Club and stuff like that. So Simple Simon's really doing a lot of good work here in the community as well as feeding the people, which is always nice. So 870-642-4103, dine in, carry out, or delivery. Enjoy their buffet that goes on every single day from 11 to 1, I do believe, and then I think on Tuesdays in the evening, I think they do it.
That's correct.
It? Yeah, Tuesdays in the evening. So definitely, definitely check them out. 924 East Collin Ray Drive, right next to Walmart in DeQueen. We move on. Ayers Cleaners as well is another great business here in Sevier County, 621 West Gilson Avenue, 870-584-7128. A dry cleaner here in DeQueen. Been around for a long time. Walkers have acquired it, opened them up for Saturdays for your convenience.
Yep.
And we're definitely appreciative to have a service like that. They did a lot of pressing of caps and gowns and whatnot for the graduation just recently. That was kind of like one of the last things that we were talking about with them. So I'm sure they'll be looking forward to new stuff in the future.
Yeah, I got to go by and get my clothes.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been there for 6 months now.
Yeah, your cap and gown?
Yeah, my cap and gown, from the 70s.
Let's not forget about Leopard Care Clinic as well, your on-campus full-service medical clinic, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Leopard Care Clinic, supporting student success because healthy students are better learners, of course. So all of the
full service medical clinic, things that you've come to expect, plus much, much more. We've theorized, you know, good to queen test scores could have some form of impact to them having such a nice medical clinic on campus.
Well, we know that for a fact.
Yeah, gotta be.
Both teachers and students have medical care there where they don't have to take off work or take off from school, go to the doctor. They get it done right there, get right back to class, you know, and get the care they need and go back to learning.
Absolutely, man.
It's great. I saw something the other day where if you miss 4 days of school a month throughout your school career, it's the equivalent of missing 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I mean, so the more you're there, the more you're going to learn, the better it's going to be.
For sure, man. For sure. And I think that really does translate over to more focus, better test scores, and all kinds of stuff. Moving on to a new acquisition for Walker's empire here is Cutting Room & Company at 405 East Colin Ray Drive right here in DeQueen. Give them a call, 870-642-6053. Schedule your hair appointment today. They have an entire wall full of beauty products as well as much more cool stuff, and it's a great place to get your hair cut. Absolutely. That's where I go, and everybody that works there is super nice. And,
I'm considering going there.
Yeah, you should. You should. They should do something with that.
I don't know what they could do with it.
You might, this might take some turtle wax with you.
Yeah, turtle wax. Pull out the buffer. Yeah, that's right.
Pull out the buffer. Yeah, yeah. That'd be great.
Give me a Teddy Savalas.
But you know, the thing about it is, one thing that all these businesses have in common is Randy and Angie Walker. Mm-hmm. And they're just amazing people. They give back to this community in so many ways all the time.
Yeah.
And we just want to make sure that we mention them and talk about how great they are in giving back to the community. They do so much for the community, and they got so many different things going on, and just wanted to talk about a few of those things. Simple Simons, right now, they've got their original calzone. You ever had one of those calzones?
Mm-hmm.
Those things are great. They're $11.99, so they got the special going on there. They've got all kinds of things. You're going with back to school, you know, specials. They're going to be there at the National Night Out tomorrow night. Don't forget about them. You know, you go to Ayers Cleaners. You can not only get your clothes done there, blankets, comforters, curtains, pillows, placemats, rugs, sheet sets, tablecloths, and whatever else you got. And all kinds of things. So
yeah, man.
Your backup shirt.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And we don't want to forget the clinic that they have in Dirks.
That's right.
Of course. The clinic in Dirks, fully expanding. I know they are focused. They've got their X-ray machines out there right now, I do believe, right?
They actually have a new X-ray machine in DeQueen also.
Oh, nice.
It's even better. Want to talk about, they've got this summer wellness drawings in Dirks that you can win a bicycle. So go get your wellness check up there.
Absolutely.
Win a bike. You know, you can do all kinds of
things. Just getting excited over here.
Yeah. right there on Main Street, it's a Walker's Family Clinic in Dirks. Very happy to have them open up a new place. And it makes sense because we have somebody from Dirks hopping onto the show right now. We have our very own Jeff Tuttle, King Tut, to inform us on what's going on with the Outlaws going forward.
Well, Jeff, what's going on over in Howard County?
You tell me. I hadn't been to a practice yet. I just try to keep up with them through the grapevine and until we get right down to it. I know Hootens has them picked 7th out of 8 in the conference, and I think Hootens has missed on that one. I think we'll fare a little better than that.
Well, it sounds like you've got some good news that I didn't know about anyway.
Yeah, we'll get into that as we move down the list that you've got for us here. You know, the Outlaws are led by Coach Paul Ernest, and assistant coaches Keenan Owens and Lance Castleman comes over from Horatio, taking the place of Coach Snyder.
That's a good get.
Moved to the Leopards.
Yeah, that's a great hire for the Outlaws. Coach Castleman's a great hire.
I think so. I met him the other day, first time I've really got to visit with him at all. And it was a short visit, but seemed like a really good guy, you know. And we're excited to have him.
So going to have a new quarterback this year.
Peyton Beckman will take over at quarterback. You know, he quarterbacked the junior high, and he was the backup last year on the senior high team, and he throws a pretty ball. You know, if we throw it around some, Beckman will be able to get it done for the Outlaws.
Can he run the ball any, Jeff? I noticed he's 6'1", but he's only 155 pounds. So
he hadn't really run an offense where he's had to run the ball.
Okay.
So, you know, I think he's capable of running, you know, up the middle, off tackle, you know, stuff like that if they keep it to the inside. Running the ball might not be a problem for the Outlaws if they can put together an offensive line to block, because they have a loaded running back room, as they would say in college and the NFL. Alex Roberts, 6'1", 170. He's a junior. He was a backup last year, and he'll be returning, along with Drake Thatcher, a sophomore, who was a big part of the junior high team that had so much success last year. They're explosive, but they won't have to ring the bell right off the bat, as the Outlaws got the news that Jordan Hill will be returning.
Talk about explosive.
Yeah. Outlaw Blue, over 1,000-yard rushing last year for Jordan Hill, and we're excited to have him back in the holler.
Yeah, that's great news for all Outlaw fans. Jordan Hill was an amazing running back last year.
Absolutely. And wide receiver-wise, you have Juan Salazar, who was the leading receiver last year, 3 touchdowns, 35 catches, pretty good speed. You know, he's coming back to handle a lot of the receiving duties. And I think another exciting kid to have back is going to be Grayson Kersey, who was injured last year, knee injury. He had surgery. He was back in time to play some baseball. And it's good to see him. He'll be a senior returning to the Outlaw offense, and he's really going to help out on defense as a linebacker as well.
Well, and you got another surprise that may help out on defense too, don't you?
Yeah, on the defensive side, they also get back Kason Dugan, who, you know, had moved out of the district, but he's back in time to play ball for the Outlaws. And I believe last year when we done these, he may have been the leading tackler every game.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking.
Definitely have the leading tackler of the season in Dugan returning.
Well, that's back big. Those are two big gets for Derrick's.
Back to the offensive side quick, then we'll get back to defense. Brayson Talley, junior, 260. P.J. Eisenhower, senior. They're going to come in and try to solidify that offensive line. You know, we've lost some linemen, so they're going to need some kids stepping up. And I'm thinking Talley at 260, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and when you look at the defense, of course, you got Dugan coming back, which is an amazing get for y'all. You've got Jaron Hill, who was all conference last year, and Grayson Kersey coming back. What do you see in the secondary there?
Well, Roberts will play, you know, safety, linebacker. He interchanged at both of those last year. Salazar will be back in the secondary. And, of course, Jordan Hill.
Yeah.
This is going to be in your secondary.
Man, that's a game changer.
Jaron Hill, defensive tackle, 65 tackles, 3 sacks last season, as you mentioned, all conference. I would think he might have to work on the offensive side of the ball this season, too. I mean, to help that offensive line. I'm not positive on any of that. Like I say, I hadn't been to a practice yet. I'm not sure what they've got.
What have you been doing?
Out there, Greg, I don't know if you know it or not, but this PS5 college football game came out.
See, I don't have a PS5, so I don't have to worry about that.
First time I've left the house.
We had a whole episode on it.
but it's too hot to go to practice now anyway,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's right. But,
how many national championships you won with the Razorbacks?
I hadn't even... I'm still just practicing up.
Are you really?
Very long.
Okay. Well, you and I need to play a game.
Yeah.
My online stuff doesn't work very well at my house.
Yeah.
Back to the Outlaws.
We were talking Outlaws.
Yeah. Anybody else that you think might make a difference that we haven't talked about?
I think there's some kids that will. And you know, that's going to be, as with every team.
Sure.
They may surprise you. Once we get going, you may say, hey, I forgot about this kid or I forgot about that kid. And, mm-hmm. You know, there will be some that jump out and have special games, no doubt about it.
Okay. Well, I just wondered, looking at the schedule, last year, Falk, you opened up with them, and Falk was a big game last year.
Yeah,
it was a high-scoring game.
It was close at halftime, and then they kind of put us away in the second half.
I will say about the schedule, though, if you can get off to a good start, and the possibility to get off to a good start is there. I don't want to put any bulletin board material on anybody's bulletin board, but you know, home against Falk, home against Mountain Pine, they're picked sixth in the 1-2A. At Parker's Chapel, they're picked seventh in the 7-3A. Lafayette County, they're picked sixth, just ahead of you all in the league. I mean, you know, call me crazy, three or four home games to start the season against teams that you should be competitive with, 3-1, 4-0 is not out of the question.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the potential is there to open up with some early victories. And then you're going to get into the meat of the schedule. I mean, Spring Hill, Murfreesboro, Junction City, you know, those are going to be three really tough games. And don't even get me started on Junction City being in our conference.
Yeah, that's new, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I was wondering.
Well, the AAA saw your proximity about 20 minutes from DeQueen and thought, you know what? We haven't screwed them enough yet, so we're going to put Junction City over there, and they're just going to be the number one team in 2A.
Yeah. Up until I looked at Hootons, I'd even questioned why we played Parker's Chapel and they were a non-conference and Junction was a conference, but Parker's Chapel is one of those teams that's going to be 3A in football and then drop down to 2A in basketball and baseball.
Yeah.
You know, and host regionals, so we'll get to go down there for regionals in baseball.
Yeah, they do that every year, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, Junction City – in our conference, they have Hampton and Bearden in the 7-2A with like Arkansas Baptist and some of those schools. And it, I mean, it doesn't make sense. But
no,
every conference has got something that doesn't make sense. Powen, I believe, is in that conference. I mean, that's a lot of road travel.
Yeah.
I'll take one trip to Junction City over all of those, I guess.
Well,
and we don't travel there. That well, junior high will. Junior high will go to Junction City this year, but
well, it takes 2 days to get there.
Yeah, and you got to go through Louisiana.
Yeah, yeah, you got to go through two states. but you know, the infinite wisdom of the AAA cannot be questioned.
it's like Spock.
Yeah, it's like Oz. And I'm talking about the wizard, not the show. All-knowing and all, you know. But anyway, you know, so you got a tough slate of games right there, those three or four games in a row. Then you come back and get Foreman. Then you get to go to Mineral Springs.
And then Gurdon.
Yeah, and Gurdon. So, you know, tough year. Going to be a tough schedule, I think, for the Outlaws. You know, I think they can start off really well, and if they can get the ball rolling, I think that's going to help them out as they get into the like you said, the meat of the schedule.
Well, but I mean, I'll throw it out there. If you start 4-0 and you go 500 the rest of the season, 7-3 is a pretty good year, and 7-3 I think would be a year the Outlaws would take.
Absolutely, and me being a guy who might speak his opinion too often. I would look at this and say 5-5 is, you know, definitely a possibility. And then if you slip an upset or two in there,
yeah,
you're looking at 6-4, 7-3 playoffs, and maybe everybody's still healthy and you're peaking at the right time.
With a couple Outlaws back in the fold, that looks like a good bit more of a possibility maybe when they wrote the Hootons article too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, anything else for the Outlaw fans as we go into this preview?
Real quick before we get off of Outlaw Nation, but this is for everybody around. The Drew Walston Memorial Golf Tournament is coming up August 24th. It's a three-man tournament. You can see information about it online. And not only does this help out kids from Derrick's, they put forward $8,000, $2,000, $1,000 for a girl and a boy at all four schools in Howard County, Derrick's, Nashville, Mineral Springs, and Umpire. So, I mean, it's a great thing. You know, get online, look it up, get you a team. We're going to cut off entries. We got about 7 or 8 spots left for teams, and we're going to cut that off in probably a week, week and a half, so we can get everything going. As a matter of fact, me and a friend of mine are going to get $3,000 worth of door prizes Wednesday. I'm not sure when this will come out. I'm not that.
It's coming out Wednesday.
Okay. Today.
Yeah. And, there you go.
So, you know, there's a chance to win some good stuff. They're going to give away cash for places and all the flights. I mean, it's a good deal, and it helps out all the schools in Howard County.
Yeah, good golf tournament and for a good cause.
Absolutely.
And that's at Nashville, correct?
Nashville Country Club.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the 24th of August. Drew Walston Memorial Golf Tournament.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's anything else?
I think
you got it. All right.
We're glad to be back on here with y'all and talking some football.
Yeah, we appreciate that, and we're so happy to be talking about it, too. One thing we want to talk about before we end this podcast this week is our next week's podcast, which what we're going to do there is we're going to go over the last half of the Leopard schedule, and then we're also going to talk to both Horatio and Foreman about their schedule, along with Colstadt River, which is starting their second year of football. Right, Tony?
That's correct. Looking forward to that, getting to meet getting to talk to Coach Barrett again and then meeting some new coaches. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but just before we leave, we want to talk just for a second. We want to mention our sponsors, without whom this would not be possible. We talked about the Walker Enterprises and the Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic already, but our other sponsors are Shelter Insurance, the Queen the Woods Agency Shelter Insurance, Toad Thumper Lures, Horatio State Bank, the Queen Motorsports, Union Bank of MENA, Dom Tar, and Adarose Designs. And we appreciate our sponsors so much, and just what they do allows us to talk about the kids in Southwest Arkansas and to continue that on. So until next week, we'll see you later.
See you later.
See ya.